The first reading for the Wednesday of Utica is from the book of Leviticus, the 19th chapter. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say to them, 'You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. And you shall not glean your vineyard, nor shall you gather every grape of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and the stranger. I am the Lord your God. You shall not steal, nor deal falsely, nor lie to one another. And you shall not swear by my name falsely, nor shall you profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. You shall not cheat your neighbor, nor rob him. The wages of him who is hired shall not remain with you all night until morning. You shall not curse the deaf, nor put a stumbling block before the blind, but shall fear your God. I am the Lord. You shall do no injustice in judgment. You shall not be partial to the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty. In righteousness you shall judge your neighbor. You shall not go about as a talebearer among your people, nor shall you take a stand against the life of your neighbor. I am the Lord. You shall not hate your brother in your heart. You shall surely rebuke your neighbor and not bear sin because of him. You shall not take vengeance, nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. You shall keep my statutes. You shall not let your livestock breed with another kind. You shall not sow your field with mixed seed, nor shall a garment of mixed linen and wool come upon you. O Lord, have mercy upon us." The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 10th chapter. Now it was the feast of dedication in Jerusalem, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then the Jews surrounded him and said to him, "How long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you did not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you do not believe, because you are not of my sheep, as I said to you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, "Many good works I have shown you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me?" The Jews answered him, saying, "For a work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, and because you, being a man, make yourself God." Jesus answered them, "Is it not written in your law, 'I said, you are gods'? If he called them gods, to whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, do you say of him whom the Father sanctified and sent into the world, 'You are blaspheming,' because he said, 'I am the Son of God'? If I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. But if I do, though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him." O Lord, have mercy upon us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The words of Bartimaeus echo true still today. "Since the world began, it has been unheard of that anyone opened the eyes of one who was born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." Jesus says precisely this. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. It is a comfort, certainly, to see that in the wake of the great Greek philosophers standing in the portico of the wisest of the kings, the people exercised no more logic than they do today. If Jesus says he is the Christ, they will call him a liar. They will not believe it. Unless, of course, Jesus was to prove it to them by performing a sign. Yet when Jesus performs a sign, they behave as did Pharaoh and his court when his team of sorcerers mimicked the great works of God. If God, and only God, can restore sight to the blind, give legs to the lame, and raise up the dead, and if Jesus does those very things, logic says Jesus must be God. It is so obvious, even the blind man knows it. Perhaps he was not so blind as are the wise. Jesus can be a liar, in which the question is, why are they so interested in him? Jesus can be a lunatic, in which case, why do they care? And why do so many follow him? Or maybe Jesus can be who he says he is. If his works certainly declare that to be the case, why then will they not believe? The reason they will never be convinced is that they refuse to be. For him who does not want God will think of 1,000 excuses as to why he cannot possibly follow Jesus. No act is ever good enough, only because he does not want it to be. Jesus and everything he does is self-sufficient and satisfies to the full, but only for him who wishes to be satisfied. Sometimes, satisfaction means taking a step outside the comfort zone, trying something new at the encouragement of one who knows better than you. In other words, sometimes satisfaction means taking a step outside yourself. In the case of Jesus, satisfaction also always means bearing a cross, killing off a part of yourself, denying yourself, and replacing all that you lose by doing so with Jesus. Those who refuse to hear make themselves deaf. Those who refuse to see make themselves blind. Those who refuse to love make themselves unlovable. Those who refuse to believe harden their hearts. Jesus does not make them his enemies. They make him theirs. And as such, they will not follow, and therefore they cannot be sheep of his fold. Yet he will continue to take care of those sheep who do hear, who do see, who love and are loved, and whose hearts are open to receive the person, the work, the touch he comes to deliver. Those who are of Christ's fold know him and are known by him, even as they look to that great consummation of that knowledge on the last day, the great and eternal union. It is not that the outsiders are made outsiders by Jesus, by some great providential decree from eternity limiting salvation to a few only. Rather, they have asked not to be a part of the party, not to be a sheep of that fold. They believe that they can be free and independent sheep, free thinkers and skeptics. Little do they know, they are still only sheep. And if they are not of Jesus' fold, they belong to another fold. But rejection does not deter Jesus. Quite the contrary, in fact. Jesus becomes all the more dogged. He fulfills the law even in this. For within his field of scattered seed and growing rain and blooming grapes, he does not harvest the lot. He satisfies his sheep with much to spare. Cups run over, and even with such extravagance, he leaves some for the poor. He converses with those who reject him. He lets them follow behind within his pasture, so that they may still find, pick, take, and eat those offerings of faith. And in the eating, by the hearing, perhaps have their eyes opened to recognize the shepherd, and their ears opened to know his voice. The sheep are those who were already once poor, who gleaned themselves once before. All come this way, some with ease, some with turmoil, some with pain. But whoever they are, there will always be gleanings in the Lord's garden unto faith and everlasting life. Jesus is the light of lights and the truth of truths. He leads to a new holy hill, a pasture, made green and full through the watering of blood. For this holy hill is the altar of God, your exceeding joy, and the only true joy in this life or the next. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Amen.